Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's right. I love this American ride.
So one of the interesting things, whenever I'm writing a book, you know, a lot of these authors, they have to have silence. They go rent a cabin in the woods, and they churn out their masterpieces. You know, I do my best writing with a lot of noise. And so back in the day, I think I've written most of my books in a coffee house. I did one in the lobby of the Peabody Hotel. And I just like to have a lot of noise. Anyway, yesterday I was finishing up my newest book, which will be out before the midterms, and I had the TV on, and I just wanted to have some background noise, and it was just a lot of sports this weekend. You had the Memphis Tigers getting their butts handed to them by a Florida Atlantic town in Boca, and then you had the big NFL games. Dylan, did you catch any of the NFL action yesterday?
I saw a little bit of the scores. I'm not a huge NFL guy, but yeah.
I was watching the
that's baseball.
Yeah, I know. Why did I just do that?
The Eagles.
Eagles. Thank you. The Eagles and the 49ers, Chicago and Green Bay.
Oh yeah.
Which, man, that was an ugly game.
Yeah, a lot of people didn't expect the turnout for that one.
That was that was a shocker.
Yep.
But it's interesting because NFL fans are really upset, and it's hard to find out where the games are. I just literally happened to just luck out. I have DirecTV, and I was able to just plop right onto a game. Anyway, there is a letter that's going viral written by a combat war veteran, and I'm just curious. I know there are a lot of you out there, and you're like, I can't believe Starnes is watching NFL after what they did with the national anthem and Colin Kaepernick. He's just a hypocrite. No, they're not doing that anymore. And I'm just going to, we got to get real for a moment. An overwhelming majority of the American people still watch professional sports. That's just a reality. Just like all you Christian people, I know you moan about Disney all the time, but we know where you go on the youth trips. We see you down there at the Magic Kingdom. So anyway, just bear with me for a moment. This is one of our great pastimes. People love the NFL. They love sports. They love the pomp and the pageantry and the music and it's a uniquely American experience that we're in the process of destroying. And it's not just professional sports, but college sports, and I've talked about this before, and there's a reason. I know we're almost at the edge of World War III. I get that, but we've got to talk about this first, because it all ties in. And Dylan, if I forget to tie it in, just remind me, and I'll tie it in together, because I'm going to go on a bit of a tangent here. So anyway, we're in the process of losing our release. And that's really what sports is, especially in the world of politics right now. This is the release. You know, you're dealing with all sorts of chaos in the country. On the weekends, you get to just relax. You watch a football game, eat some burgers, hot dogs, whatever. You got the nachos, the pizza. You know, you're just chilling out. Except for me, by the way, no bread 4 days now. No grain.
Very nice.
All protein. I think I'm down like 4 pounds.
That's awesome.
So anyway, see, I'm telling you, it's a long tangent here. And by the way, let me stop right here for a moment. I'm doing this because today would have been Rush's birthday. And Rush Limbaugh loved the NFL. And Rush Limbaugh loves sports. Me personally, I'm a huge college football fan. But I do enjoy the NFL. I mean, they took a lot of luster away with the whole woke stuff, the black national anthem, the Colin Kaepernick, the national anthem, all that garbage, you know, the wokeness in the end zone. But still, you know, as try as they may, you know, you still love football. It's our sport. The other thing is called soccer. They kick balls around. Nobody cares. But the NFL, that matters. That's big time sports. not kickball. So anyway, this guy wrote a letter, and it's getting a lot of play. And I want to read this to you. It's addressed to the National Football League. I am writing as a lifelong NFL fan, a senior citizen, and a 74-year-old combat war veteran on a fixed income. I have followed the NFL for what feels like my entire life. Watching football has been one of the few constants and joys I still look forward to each season. In recent years, the increasing movement of NFL games to pay-per-view and multiple streaming services has made it financially impossible for many of us to continue watching the sport we love. Seniors, veterans, and others on fixed incomes already struggle with rising costs for necessities and standard television service. Asking fans to pay for several additional streaming subscriptions places NFL games out of reach for people like me. For many seniors and veterans, football is more than entertainment. It is companionship, routine, and connection, especially for those who are homebound or living alone. Being priced out feels like we are being quietly pushed aside for decades of loyalty. We are not asking for special treatment, only consideration. Please remember the fans who supported this league long before streaming existed. I respectfully urge the NFL to reconsider the continued scattering of games across paid streaming platforms and to keep games accessible through traditional television. Please do not leave seniors and veterans behind. We are still here, and we still care deeply about the game. Respectfully, a concerned senior and proud combat war veteran. You know, this is heartbreaking for me. You know, I feel bad for it because it's true. It's if you're on a fixed income, there's no way that you're going to be able to afford all of the different ways that you have to stream. Dylan, there was a great Babylon Bee thing about watching NFL games.
Oh yeah, I love them.
It's insane. But again, it is the NFL is pricing out the average Joe. I'm not even sure the average Joe would be able to go to an actual, you know, season game.
That's a good point. Yeah, you can't even afford the tickets. They're too high.
I mean, just think about it. And then going to the Super Bowl, that's, you know, unless you're a multimillionaire.
They got a loan. Go to the Super Bowl.
Yes. And by the way, someone was telling me about the college football playoffs, the championship, the tickets for the championship game. I'm hearing upwards of $4,000.
I'm not surprised at all at that number.
I mean, it's insane. So you can't, and what are you going to do?
It's going to be a Miami home game anyway, but that's beside the point.
Yeah. Here's the headline from WTHR down in Florida. Ticket prices soar for Indiana-Miami college football playoff national championship game. The good news, there are still tickets. The bad news, they're going to cost you a whole lot of money. Are you ready for this? The cheapest tickets available, and this was going into Friday, last Friday, were $2,800. After Friday's game, those prices soared to around $3,800. And now, are you ready for this, Dylan? Some seats that are still available on like StubHub, TickPick, and Ticketmaster, more than $10,000, oh, as of, wow, Friday night. $10,000.
For college football. That's not even professional football. That's college. That's wild to me.
So how does the average Joe, you know, get to, how does the average guy get to enjoy a game?
True. Now, I mean, you know, regardless if you're a Miami or an Indiana fan, you're probably just going to have to catch it on the TV. So that's hard.
It's Rush Limbaugh predicted all of this, that the introduction of politics into the sport, the allowing the feminazis to come in and chickify the sport, it was just all meant to destroy what we love. And the fact of the matter is, and ladies, I know many of you love football. I know many of you love sports, but by and large, this is a guy issue. And for guys, those Sundays in front of the TV, those Saturdays in front of the TV, whether you're watching football or basketball, that's guy time. That's time with your pals, your buddies, and to eat, you know, bad food, unhealthy food. And you always, you know, hear this, "Hey, honey, bring me some root beer." And what is that? And Mrs. Honey comes and brings you the root beer because that's how it's supposed to work. It's in the marriage vow somewhere. You're smiling, Dylan. You know.
It's very true. Yeah. That's like a very common thing in our household. Saturdays are for Saturday evenings. Actually, you know what? I'm just going to block out the whole Saturday. I usually do that for college game day, early games. It's an understood thing. And it's a release, like you were talking about earlier. It is a release, or it's supposed to be a release. But with NFL, it's a little bit harder because you got things in the end zone, things stamped on helmets that are just reminding you, this is still political. And you can't enjoy this to the full extent.
You can't. And that's the whole thing. It's a guy thing. I mean, NFL, how many women are playing on NFL teams? Because they can't. Because they know it's a manly sport, which is why they want to chickify the game. And I think especially Gen Z is pushing back over the chickification of everything. I don't know if that's an actual word, but we're going to make it a word because that's what's happening. I mean, it's got to stop. And I hate it because Rush Limbaugh predicted all of this was going to happen. And here we are. But anyway, when you look at all the lawyers and the schools and the agents, they have ruined college sports. Basketball, it's insane. Just insane what's happening. And that's sad. And that really is sad. They've got to get this figured out. And I think President Trump is getting very, very close to stepping in and fixing all of this. Otherwise, we're just going to lose college sports. And I don't want to see that happen. We need that. We need college sports. We need high school sports. It is an outlet for young men who need that. They need the camaraderie. They need the competitiveness of the game. They need that outlet in their lives. And yet there are people that are trying to take that away. All right, got to take a break. Jeez, alone. I told you it was a bit of a curve here. But again, ladies and gentlemen, with all the things happening, we need those release valves. And this is a big one for the men of America. And our release valve is under attack. 901-260-5926, our telephone number today. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Every so often, a film comes along that challenges us to look closer at what's happening in our own backyard. Sexploited is that film, a gripping new four-part docuseries that uncovers the reality of sexual exploitation happening in every community in America. You will hear from survivors, law enforcement, and advocates who are fighting to expose and end this modern-day slavery. It's not easy to watch, but it's something every American needs to see. You can stream Sexploited right now or purchase the DVD by visiting sexploitedfilm.com or salemnow.com. That's sexploitedfilm.com or salemnow.com. Watch it, share it, and stand with those working to bring freedom and justice to the exploited. It was 2014 when El Rushbo argued that political correctness and all the culture war crap was feminizing football and would ruin it. And he said the league has been overly influenced by politically correct attitudes associated with the feminazis and critics out there. Chickifying. We're going to credit Rush Limbaugh with coming up with that word. So happy birthday in heaven to our good friend, L. Rushbo, Rush Limbaugh. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. All right. So a lot of folks have been, Starnes, what's going on here? Are we about to go to World War III? I don't believe so. I don't believe so. And I'll explain part of this now, but there is a movement afoot. Our good friend, known as the Hebrew Hammer, Congressman Randy Fine out of Florida, has introduced a bill that would make Greenland our 51st state. This is all happening as the president says, we're getting Greenland one way or the other. Congressman Fine says that it's in the world's interest for the United States to exert sovereignty over Greenland, Congress would still have to choose to make it a state. I'm reading from the Fox News report here. The writer, Elizabeth Elkind. He says Congress would still have to choose to make it a state, but this would simply authorize the president to do what he's doing and say the Congress stands behind him, and then it would expedite it into becoming a state. But it would still be up to Congress about whether to do that. Now, Marco Rubio is going to be meeting with officials from Denmark, be meeting with the Danes, as they call them. No, no, Dylan, it's not Denmarkians, it's Danes, Danes. And they're going to be discussing all of this. So Rubio's going to be marching in as like, look, guys, here's the deal. You know, we're taking over. I don't even think they have a military, so it's not going to be much of a struggle. So Trump has publicly pushed for the idea. And by the way, the latest I heard is we're offering like each citizen of Greenland like $100,000 or something like that. I don't know. It seems a little high to me. It's Greenland, but whatever. It's not exactly the Gulf of America. Congressman Fine says Denmark has not treated Greenland well. Their poverty rate is high. When war came to town, Denmark could not protect them. Well, guess who protected Greenland during World War II? We did. That's true. We did. So anyway, the reason why Greenland is important, and we talked about this a couple of weeks on the show, is we have got to make sure, and Trump is right about this, we've got to make sure that China and Russia don't take advantage of this. If we don't take over Greenland, Russia or China will, and we can't have them operating in our neck of the woods. We have to have that. Now, here's the other issue. So if you look at Fox News right now, you've got the Greenland story, you've got Venezuela, you've got Iran, and then you've got Mexico and you've got Cuba. So there are a lot of international fires burning, and all of these are very important. Now, there's going to be a group of folks out there that are part of the America First movement. This isn't America First. This is Cuba First. This is Mexico First. Stop hyperventilating. Do you understand what Trump is doing here is a brilliant thing. He is battening down the hatches. Something big is coming. Something very big is coming. And what is Trump doing? He's battening down the hatches so we can't allow our enemies, China, Russia, to get a foothold in our hemisphere. That's what Trump is doing right now. And that, in and of itself, is a very America First play here that the president is trying to accomplish. Now, let's talk about Iran for just a moment. There have been a lot of people saying we need to step in. President Trump saying Iran getting close to crossing the red line there. The Ayatollahs are about to be toppled. There are massive protests. And by the way, they are slaughtering these Iranians who are marching for their freedom. There are, again, unconfirmed reports as many as 6,000 Iranians may have been slaughtered. So the question is, do we intervene there? Do we lend a helping hand to the people that are fighting for their freedom? And it's sort of hard for them to do because the only people with guns are the bad guys, are the Islamists. So, I mean, what do you do at that point? Do you just allow the freedom fighters to be slaughtered, or do you step in and do you say even the playing field a little bit? That is a conversation that's going to be had up on Capitol Hill. Don't be surprised, ladies and gentlemen, if the U.S. gets involved in what's happening there in Iran. All right, 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Losing weight's getting harder and harder as you get older, and it's not your fault. You're eating better, you're moving more, but your body isn't responding anymore. The harder you try, the less progress you see. And I am just like you. I've been dealing with this, and recently I made the call to PhD Weight Loss, and it's changing everything. I've been on the program for a week now, already dropped 3 pounds. Feel better than ever. PhD Weight Loss, they help people identify what's actually blocking fat loss and they fix the root cause. And it isn't as simple as counting calories. Your body is much more complicated than that. If you want to understand why your body isn't cooperating, call PhD Weight Loss now and mention Fix My Weight Loss to unlock our New Year's special. Book your consultation. It's free. It's personalized. And it could explain everything. Call 864-644-1900 and say, Fix My Weight Loss. That's 864-644-1900 or visit myphdweightloss.com. Tell them Todd sent you.
Now, an open letter to the people of Minnesota.
I wish to thank Governor Walz and all the angry white women of Minnesota for coming to my aid and protecting me from ICE. I come to America in search for a better life, to work hard for my cartel and follow women late at night when they least expect me, and then I creep up.
Thanks, Pablo, for your kind words.
But there's so much more.
You don't have to say anything else. Folks, let's face it. Like I've told you before, sometimes I'm a knucklehead, sometimes I drink and drive, but most of the time, I'm
dumbass?
Yeah. Yeah, you got it. Dumbass.
All right there. Just clearly the illegals very happy with Governor Tim Walz. Thank you, Paul Shanklin, for that bit. Welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stern Show. Over the weekend, did you guys have any I'm just curious, in your neighborhoods, in your cities, did you guys have these huge mob actions where you had all of these, we call them gals of girth, big-boned gals? And they're out there with their purple hair, and they're screeching. They have these voices that are just, I don't know, ear splitting is a good description. And they're mostly white, and they're mostly middle aged or elderly. And I don't mean to paint with a broad brush, but I have noticed that most of these protests do not include black and brown people. We're talking about lily white liberals. And by the way, we had one in Memphis yesterday. This is sort of funny. So Dylan, they arrested some woman, came storming out, and they actually blocked the roadway. And one of the women actually stormed up. She was like running over to a Tennessee Highway Patrol cruiser, and she starts banging on the windows of the cruiser. And that lady figured out real quick that Tennessee ain't Minnesota, because some good old boys hopped out of that cruiser, and they sent purple, and she has purple hair. They sent her to jail.
Yeah, you don't mess around with the THP.
I've got to read the description of what happened, because I think this is happening in other cities as well. According to the statement from a state trooper, the woman banged on the trooper's windshield, screamed at him, and tried to enter the passenger side door as protesters surrounded the vehicle. All of this is captured on video. He says that the woman was aggressive and smelled of alcohol. She threatened officers, federal agents, and once she was there, she questioned the sexuality of the troopers, and she used the N-word. Uh-oh. The trooper then said the woman pulled down her pants, exposed herself, and attempted to urinate on the floor. Let me just say, we're not talking about a Sports Illustrated swimsuit model here, ladies and gentlemen. As troopers tried to escort the thugette to the bathroom, they say she began damaging and destroying property. She also kicked a Tennessee highway trooper. So she's going to be in jail for a while. And so now the organization that put all this together, they're crying that they're truly the victims here of all of this. But again, you can't tell me that all of these protests in these major cities just spontaneously happened, and they just all happened to get the same professionally made signs. You can't tell me that did not happen. So this is where we are on all of it, ladies and gentlemen, and you are looking at a concerted effort here to take down the Trump administration. That's what's happening. And it's insane when you see the spin that's going on here. There was another video that came out, and the video is from the cell phone of the federal agent who got hit by the car. And it's very clear what actually happened. You can see it all for yourself, but people still don't want to, they still don't want to admit that their gal was in the wrong. And by the way, she was not only a domestic terrorist, Renee Good was also a professionally trained activist. Oh, by the way, here's some of the audio from one of the protests. Cut 12, please. Okay, I can't handle it. Oh, my God, the banging of the bongos. Jeez-a-loo. So this is what our poor federal agents have to deal with every single day. Here's Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem yesterday on CNN Cut 10.
Facts of the situation are that the vehicle was weaponized, and it attacked the law enforcement officer. He defended himself, and he defended those individuals around him. That is the definition. When there is something that is weaponized to use against the public and law enforcement, that is an act of domestic terrorism. It happened in our shores. It happened here in our country. You don't get to change the facts just because you don't like them. We will continue to look at this individual and what her motivations were. We know that there was, throughout that morning, she had harassed and impeded law enforcement operations. Mm-hmm. That raises the suspicion level with all of these law enforcement officers as far as paying attention to what her capacity is. And as you see on the videos, and they've proven out that this law enforcement officer took the action that his training prepared him for, and he worked to make sure that he could save his own life and those around him.
It makes perfect sense to me. She was on with Jake Tapper, and Tapper's just not getting it. I want you to listen to cut number 8, please.
I'm just waiting for the investigation to come through. I'm wondering if you're not doing a disservice to the officer by reaching a conclusion before the investigation takes place.
I haven't heard you say once what a disservice it's done for Mayor Fry to get up and to tell ICE to get the F out of his city, and AOC to stand up before she had any of the facts and call this officer a murderer. For individuals, well, call them out, Jake. Spend as much time calling them out.
Okay.
I have provided you with facts and information to back up every single word that we have said and every single part of this investigation. And if you don't like it, that's fine. But we're going to continue to do the right thing to keep the American people safe.
Well, there you go. I mean, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. So good for Kristi Noem getting out there and setting the narrative. I think the left knows that they've lost this, but it doesn't really matter because they've got the protest marches. They've had the incidents. By the way, there have been at least 10 other incidents where ICE agents were nearly run over by these activists. So this is all part of their strategy. Cut number 4, please.
It's a tragedy that Renee Good is dead, and we should all mourn it. We also should look back what went wrong way before that. Peggy Flanagan, the lieutenant governor of Minnesota, encouraged people to put their bodies on the line. That is irresponsible. Democrats who are encouraging people to obstruct law enforcement, they're putting them in harm's way with their rhetoric, and it's wrong. Republicans shouldn't do it. Democrats shouldn't do it. We also have a problem that the Minneapolis police are not allowed to do crowd control. That the encounter between Renee Good and those ICE officers shouldn't have happened. Minneapolis police should have been there as a buffer, but we don't have it because Minneapolis ordinances prohibit them from even being there when there's ICE in coordination. We have to change this. We have to have, Kristi Noem said it this morning, state and local officials need to help ICE do their job, not encourage people to stop them.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, it really is that simple. But I know that they are organizing, and people are really upset that the Justice Department is not doing more here to prosecute and to go after these folks. Over the weekend, somebody actually shared a pretty disturbing graphic. Not a single person has been arrested. Not a single person has been put on trial for any of the major scandals dating back to Russia, Russia, Russia. And a lot of folks are wondering, what exactly is the Justice Department doing right now? By the way, law enforcement, why can they not use, and I'm just throwing this out there, why can't they use the water cannons? You know, these people are getting up in the faces of the agents, and I'm just concerned that sooner or later somebody is going to be able to take a shot at these agents, and we don't want that to happen. But it is not good. Meanwhile, remember Al Gore. Al Gore is back, and he is fired up. He's enraged, and he is talking about what a clear and present danger Donald J. Trump is to the Republic. Cut six.
Our Constitution, written by our founders, is intended to protect us against a threat identical to Donald Trump, someone who seeks power at all costs to get more power. And I understand very well why it is wrong to compare Adolf Hitler's Third Reich to any other movement. It was uniquely evil, full stop. I get it. But there are important lessons from the history of that emergent evil, and here is one that I regard as essential. In the immediate aftermath of World War II, a small group of philosophers who had escaped Hitler's murderous regime returned to Germany and performed a kind of moral autopsy on the Third Reich. The most famous of the so-called Frankfurt School of philosophers was a man named Jürgen Habermas. He described how the Nazis, and I quote again, attacked the very heart of the distinction between true and false. End quote. The Trump administration is insisting on trying to create their own preferred version of reality. They say Ukraine attacked Russia instead of the other way around, and expect us to believe it. At home, they attack heroes who have defended our nation in war and against cyber attacks as traitors.
So there you have it. That's the angle they're taking. They're going to be ramping up the whole Hitler stuff. That's going to be ugly. Right now, the Democrats, let me explain what's going on here. They're throwing everything at the wall because the Democrats are cornered right now. The Democrats understand that they've been dealt a losing hand. Nobody's really buying into what they're selling. As a matter of fact, there was the crowds, and don't get me wrong, there were some impressive crowds. I mean, they had hundreds of thousands of people around the nation that were protesting. But by and large, most of these protests were very small. And the reason why is most of them are made up of elderly people, and they're not able to be out that long. They got to get down to Denny's or Bob Evans for the early bird special. I mean, that's just the reality of it. So where do we go from here? Well, I would just tell you, watch your back out there, because these protests are insane. And the fact of the matter is, there are some very dangerous people that are embedded in these groups of people. And I say that because there's reporting out today, Salt Lake City. You folks out in Salt Lake City, pay attention to this. Trend De Aragua has apparently dispatched a lot of their gang members to Salt Lake City, and they're under orders to shoot law enforcement. That's what we're dealing with. Let's go to the phone lines. Jerry, Iowa, KXEL. Jerry, what's on your mind?
Hello, Brother Todd. I'm just noticing that the communist Marxists in America, when they do revolution, they throw their own people under the bus, just like the Palestinians do. Like in Minnesota, they trained her to get in a car and gun the engine in front of a cop. So what do you think is going to happen? His training kicks in, and he shoots her, and so the liberals, they get it all on camera, and now they make the rage even worse. They blame the attempted victim. And the Palestinians do the same thing. They use human shields of women and children, and the IDF has a terrible time. They're trying not to hurt these people. Like the cops in Minnesota, they don't want to hurt any civilians. But this is part of their modus operandi. The Marxist, the Solinsky tactics, very similar to what the Palestinians do, Hamas.
Jerry, I'm glad you brought that up. I'm glad you brought that up, because over the weekend, there were reporters out there, and they're like, holy crap, these women are literally bringing their newborn babies, and they're putting them in the front of the protest line. They're doing the exact same thing the Islamic radicals used to do.
That's how the UN gets money. They play the victim, and they incite the riot and the killing, and then everyone rushes to the poor, sad person who got shot. I hate to say they had it coming, but not the children, but the people, anyone who thinks they're going to run into a cop with a car in the U.S. and we're just going to roll over, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, no, you're right. And again, those, and when you look at law enforcement and you see the interactions, they're very kind. You know, they're firm, but they're kind. And they're saying, hey, look, if you keep doing this, you are going to go to jail. So stop what you are doing. So they're giving, it's not like they're just rushing in and throwing everybody in the, you know, in the paddy wagon. They're actually giving them the time to stop doing what they're doing. Jerry, I got to run. Good to hear from you, and thank you for calling in. 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. Would you like to see ICE ramp up their work here in this country? By the way, you know, I told you last week, officially on the diet, plan to lose a ton of weight. Proud to say I've already lost 6 or 7 pounds. And one of the reasons why is because I've started making some changes in what I eat. I've been doing the RFK Maha movement. And fortunately, this great product called Field of Greens is really helping me with that. You know, doctors today look beyond your calendar age. They look at what they call your biological age. How healthy are your cells and your vital organs? And Field of Greens was designed with that in mind. Each fruit and vegetable is doctor selected to support your cells, your heart, lungs, kidneys, and healthy weight. In fact, they did a university study and they found that people who had only added Field of Greens actually saw measurable improvements in some key health markers. Just one change changed everything. And that's why Field of Greens promises your doctor will notice your improved health, or they're going to give you your money back. So you really have nothing to lose here. So go into your next physical confident, one scoop once a day, done. And by the way, it's delicious. I love it. So if I love it, you're going to love it as well. Make Field of Greens your one smart change this year. Check out the university study. Get 20% off at fieldofgreens.com. That's fieldofgreens.com. Be sure to use promo code STARNS. That's fieldofgreens.com. Promo code STARNS gets you 20% off at fieldofgreens.com. Hi, this is Todd Stearns. This past year has been one of the hardest in MyPillow's history, and it's because of loyal listeners like you. They're still standing strong. To show their appreciation, they're offering special Christmas savings exclusively for our listeners. Right now, you can get the Children's Bible Story Pillow 5-Pack for just $29.98, My Slippers with a free bottle of leather protectant spray for $39.98, and a variety of blankets, comforters, and duvets starting as low as $25. Plus, there's a major blowout deal on the standard MyPillow. Get this, only $14.98. Visit MyPillow.com or call 1-800-839-8506 and use promo code STARNS to unlock these wholesale prices. That includes the standard MyPillow, normally $49.98, now just $14.98, with queen sizes marked down to $18.99 and king sizes for only a dollar more. That's MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506 and use promo code STARNS. All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Brand new survey data out. This is interesting. There has been a significant political shift in America's political party identification. The findings of a Gallup survey released Monday found that 45% of U.S. adults identified as independents in 2025. That is a record number, already surpassing the previous record of 43% measured in 2014, 2023, and 2024. U.S. adults who identified as either Democrat or Republican were tied at 27% each. The rise in political independence reflects generational shifts. Younger adults far more likely to identify as independents in the past. All right, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Is that you? Are you an independent? Have you given the other two parties the heave-ho? Well, we'll be right back to talk about it. This is the Todd Stern Show.
This episode was brought to you by Allianz Travel Insurance. If you're starting the year in Honolulu, ending it in Austin, and taking a sojourn to Sweden somewhere in between, it's important to protect yourself and your packed agenda. The more adventures you have on your plate, the more chances there are for travel mishaps to leave a sour taste in your mouth. An All Trips Annual Travel Insurance Plan can help protect you and your peace of mind on every trip you take this year. Learn more at AllianzTravelInsurance.com.
Live from the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show, Hour 2, broadcasting border to border, coast to coast, across the fruited plain. Todd Starnes, your voice of truth and hope. We're going to have a lot of fun this hour of the program. Welcome all. I have to tell you that we've been getting a lot of hate mail lately. And Dylan, I'm just going to tell you, it's pretty ugly hate mail. And I'm tempted. You know what? I guess we should read it, right? I mean, we're not afraid. We are confident in ourselves. So we should be able to handle the criticism that, you know, this morning I got a call from a lady who was very angry with me, and another who was upset because and again I want to share this. Let's play the music anyway. This is sort of from the mailbag. I'll just kind of extemporaneously talk about this woman who was very upset. We were talking about how the protest movement, they're having a hard time finding people to protest. And most of them are senior citizens, and they nod off pretty quickly, and they're not exactly all that fast on the walkers, and they got the canes. And anyway, one lady said that she was unable to attend because she had a problem. It turns out her bursitis flared up again. And I just felt I was obligated. I mean, she wrote it on social media for the public to see. So I felt obligated to say, here's how bad it is. You know, that they're having a hard time rounding up people for the protest. One lady said she'd have gone, but her bursitis flared up. She got all upset. And I said, well, look, I mean, our thoughts and prayers are with you. I mean, bursitis is nothing to sneeze at. So, you know, you got to do what you got to do. She did not take kindly to that. So I just got this one. Dylan, I'm having a hard time reading. I don't have my reading glasses on. It's an old people problem, along with the bursitis.
Skip over the bad words. That's all you have to do.
Well, I'm working on it. Here we go. Dear Todd, you are a gay-looking, obese, weak little effer, aren't you? Still calling mommy? That's from Terry Wallace, writing on Facebook. I replied, Dear Terry, my mom died 10 years ago. It's a little harsh. Weak little effort. I got this one as well. Let's see here. Dear Todd, you are a fat, disgusting pig. I literally got these within 2 minutes of each other. Dear Todd, you are a fat, disgusting pig. Wait till they come for you. Trump is giving you Ozempic. I hope you take it. However, hell doesn't care if you are fat or not. Wow, that's a little personal. I did think about the Ozempic, but I'm concerned because, your lips fall off and people have like heart problems. I mean, there are like a lot of your face melts too, right? Have you seen that, Dylan?
Yeah, your face melts and apparently your butt melts too.
Oh, geez.
Not good on either end.
And I don't want it. I'm going to do that. I'm going to lose all the weight. And they're like, oh, Starnes doesn't have a butt. He's buttless. How are you going to wear those leather chaps now, Starnes?
It'll never stop.
Because they're buttless. It just won't stop. The heckling, it never stops.
Yeah.
So anyway, I've decided to go forth the old-fashioned way. No Ozempic for me. Then it's like, what, $15,000 a shot? We're done with the mailbag. It's terrible. All that to say, we would occasionally enjoy, and I'm just not saying you have to do this, but it would be nice on occasion to get, I don't know, some actual fan mail. Is that asking too much? Oh, geez, Alou. All right. 901-260-5926. Are you dead? Dylan, I asked this because there is a brand new app out there. You know, I'm all over the apps. I like the apps. There is a new Chinese app for young people living alone, which, by the way, I guess it's a global issue where young people are just not getting married, or maybe they're just waiting, but fewer people are getting married, fewer people are procreating. So there's a brand new app called Are You Dead? And here's how it works. You have to check in with it every 2 days, clicking a large button to confirm that you are actually alive. If not, it will get in touch with your appointed emergency contact and inform them that you may be in trouble. The app was launched in May last year. Not much fanfare, but apparently it's exploded in recent weeks with many young people who live alone in Chinese cities downloading it in droves. It is now the most downloaded paid app in the country. According to research institutes, there may be up to 200 million one-person households in China. And it's those people that the app, whether you're a solo office worker or a student, or you just live a solitary lifestyle, that they're trying to target. I don't know. And you pay for it. That's what gets me done. It seems to me we already have something like that, and it's not an app. It's called Your Mom, right?
Yeah, that's
where
a good
are
point.
You? Yeah. Are you dead?
Answer your texts.
Doesn't cost a... Oh, I do that a lot, too, don't I?
It's true.
It's true. And I don't charge for that. I don't know. There we go.
Interesting.
Yeah. Would you download something like that, though?
For fun, I think I would. But, like, if I don't reply, is like, what's going to happen if I don't reply?
Who's going to be your emergency contact?
Well, I have a wife now, so probably my wife, yeah.
The wifey.
The wifey.
That makes sense.
Yes.
Are you dead? I love it. Barbie is launching a new baby doll. You know, Barbie does all these dolls. They're launching the first autistic Barbie. Stop. The autistic Barbie has sensory... I'm sorry. Let me try this again. The doll is part of Barbie's Fashionistas line. It includes intentional design choices like a flexible elbow and hand joints for autistic stimming, which refers to repetitive body movement behavior some people with autism engage in to process sensory information. The Barbie's accessories also reflect those that some autistic people sport, like noise-canceling headphones, loose-fitting clothing, and a tablet with alternative communication apps. Now, Mattel says the doll has been in development for more than 18 months in partnership with the Autistic Self-Advocacy Network, which is a nonprofit group that works with disability rights. The Barbie, Autistic Barbie, will be available at Mattel shops and Target, $11.87. And it'll roll out to Walmart stores nationwide in March. So there you go. Meanwhile, portrayals of people with autism have increased in popular culture thanks to shows like Love on the Spectrum and The Good Doctor. And with the advent of the new Autistic Barbie, people with autism will now see themselves reflected in the iconic quintessential children's doll. Now, what's interesting about this, not the first time that Barbie has done this. I mean, back when we were kids, you know, all the, you had like Barbie, you had one Barbie, and she was like, I don't know, an anorexic blonde chick, very curvy. And then you had G.I. Joe. And G.I. Joe was always, I always thought this was interesting. Like, little Barbies were like little midget-like things. And then G.I. Joes were like real American hero. You know, big guy. Do you guys remember that? Remember that they had like the full-size G.I. Joes? I mean, they were basically like the size of real life midgets, right? I'm sorry, little people, right?
It's true. I was a WWE wrestler guy myself, so I had those toys. And I also had Snake Eyes, the G.I. Joe Snake Eyes.
Oh, yeah.
That was the coolest one.
And then you had Stretch Armstrong. Stretch Armstrong was back, you know, that was like a long time ago.
Yeah.
And so anyway, but then you had like little Barbie and her her gay friend, Ken. And so the Barbie and Ken, that was it. I mean, that's all you had. I mean, there were no other choices. And then you got like Asian Barbie and Black Barbie, Pacific Rim Barbie. Has there a fat ass Barbie yet? Have they done one of those?
It's got to be.
Pardon me, full figured.
It's got to be.
That's the official. My apologies. I meant to say full figured.
It's a descriptor.
So they're doing all of these Barbies now, and I guess, I mean, kids, you know, they want to be able to identify, you know, so they've got like, and I don't know, we'll check this out, but my understanding is you're going to have like blind Barbie, deaf Barbie, amputee Barbie. I mean, the list goes on. Burn victim Barbie.
They'll stay in business forever. That's the least to say.
No, yeah. I mean, it, from a marketing standpoint, it's a brilliant strategy, right? Because there is a demographic for everybody.
Absolutely. So they'll never run out of customers or business, but it'll be very specific to the person that has to buy that Barbie. And if you're not into Barbie, well, sorry.
Trans Barbie.
Trans Barbie, yeah.
Karen Barbie.
Oh, yeah.
She just screeches at you and bangs bongos.
Top seller.
Activist Barbie. So anyway, I mean, look, whoever the marketing department is over at Barbie, over at Mattel, they deserve a significant pay raise here. That's all I'm saying. All right, 901-260-5926. Let's go to the phone lines. Patty in Statesville, North Carolina. Hi, Patty. How are you today?
I'm doing good. Listen, no, I think it's definitely a Karen Barbie. I mean, my God. I mean, if you look at these protests, you know what I have to do?
Hey, Patty, hold on. Dylan, can you please check and see if there's a fat Barbie?
Oh, yes.
Thank you. All right. I'm sorry, Patty. I didn't mean to interrupt.
I have to give a shout out to Laura Ingraham about that idiot. She's like, do you work? I'm getting paid right now. She screams back.
Yeah, these are paid protesters, Patty. They're getting a paycheck. Hourly workers.
Hey, listen, you know what? I'm telling you, I mean, you know, these old ladies and, oh, the other thing, my son-in-law is there. You know what? They had a McDonald's. They would not serve ice.
The McDonald's wouldn't serve ice?
Yeah, McDonald's is all, they're all like different people own them. So it's up to the people that, but they had a security guard outside of this ice.
You mean the agents? I'm like, man, who wants to drink hot tea? Sorry. It took me a second.
No, my son, all right, Todd.
Okay. I got you.
My son Todd. What the hell's wrong with me? I think I'm becoming one of, oh, God, you know what? You can't make, what is going on with this country? You know what? They are nutcases. They have like bears coming down the road. Does he whistle too? I mean, it's like, what's up with the whistle? What's up with the whistles? What's up with, it's all, you're right, Todd, it's all old ladies. Old ladies. What's up with that?
Well, I'm just going to, yeah, Patty, there's something wrong with them. And honestly, we ought to open up the hospitals again. That's what we ought to do, is open up the hospitals or get these women married. I think one of the two things that could work. Patty, let me say this, and I got to run to break, but let me say this. In all seriousness, this is a dangerous situation we're dealing with here, because it is what we are witnessing is a mob, which could be an army of well over 100,000 or, you know, hundreds of thousands of people that could rise up and try and overthrow the government. So that's why I believe President Trump needs to make Minneapolis an example. The president needs to step in, and they need to send everybody, overwhelm them, declare an insurrection, and let's get Minnesota back on the right track. That's what I think ought to happen. Patty, thank you for that. Dylan, have you been able to research?
Yeah, I found Fat Barbie. But
get out of here.
Okay, they launched in 2016 Barbie Fashionistas line, which was very inclusive. They tried to incorporate the original, the tall, and the petite, which also included the Fat Barbie, which is called the Curvy Barbie.
Of course.
Curvy. And so they did it with thicker thighs and and that's those kind of things. It was just a little bit of thicker. It wasn't like fat, though.
Bulbous Barbie? Maybe that would have.
There was no Big Macs involved into the Curvy Barbie, you know, release. So it was basically what a normal person would look like, not a fat Barbie.
Of course. And then after they released Fat Barbie, along came Diabetes Barbie.
Exactly.
In all seriousness.
Yeah. No, you're right.
Type 1.
You're right.
Yeah.
You're absolutely you right.
All right. Got to take a break. This is the Todd Stearns Show. Welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Happy to have you with us today. So last night, the Golden Globes and the Hollywood crowd, these are people that get paid to play make-believe for a living. And man, were they fired up, very upset over ICE and federal agents. Here's Robert De Niro, little Bobby.
I'm going to say one thing. Trump. It's no longer down with Trump. It's Trump.
You know, this guy, what a filthy jerk. Filthy jerk face, this guy. But what are you gonna do? Also, here is Mark Ruffalo. Is he the guy that played the Incredible Hulk?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Man, I hate him. Anyway, he is a left-wing loon, cut nine, please.
So this is for her. This is for the people in the United States who are terrorized and scared today. I know I'm one of them. I love this country, and what I'm seeing here happening is not America.
Mark, why do you feel that this platform is still useful to spread a message like this?
Listen, I want to pretend like this. I want to be here to celebrate, and I am here to celebrate, and I'm proud to have a Golden Globe nomination. But also, this is not normal anymore. And so I don't know how I could be quiet. And I'm feeling a little sick, so it's hard to BS right now. So.
Oh, geez. Hope you're not, like, communicable. Geez. Put a mask on, pal. Take some Robitussin for crying out loud. So anyway, that was pretty much the Golden Globes. I tried to watch and I couldn't. It was, my ears began to bleed and I thought, no, I can't. I just can't do it this go around. So anyway, there you go. Not much of a surprise there. They hate Trump. They hate our country. That's what Hollywood has become. All right. Hang tight, everybody. Steve Gill, coming up, the publisher of TriStarDaily.com. That's TriStarDaily.com. Also, a little bit later on, we're going to be talking to a lawmaker who wants children to start using pen and paper again. It's going to be a fun conversation. There's actually science behind the argument. Get the kids away from the computers. Give them a pen. Give them a piece of paper. 901-260-5926. We'll be right back.
Down. This was my Christmas present, and I got a loss.
Oh, no. You probably would have rather had Cole, huh?
Yeah, probably. I'm feeling two of two things. A, I want AJ Brown packing his bags, and I want him somewhere else that is not here. I love you, AJ, but, like, you can't make those drops in that game. And I also want Kevin Petullo flipping burgers at, like, the local McDonald's or something. I don't care.
Why do you say that?
whenever he's an offensive coordinator, it's like he's flipping burgers. One side, he's cooking. One half, he's cooking. And the other half is completely raw.
Oh, God. You know, they don't make Philadelphia Eagles fans like that anymore. That's insane. That kid's, what, 10 years old?
Maybe 10.
Yeah, probably. How do you say probably? I love it. That's great. Welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Real quick here, before we go to Steve Gill, I want to go to Kim in Georgia, listening to us on WDUN, wants to weigh in on the NFL. Hey, Kim, what's up?
Hey, Todd. Thank you so much for taking my call. We love you here in Georgia, and sorry you're getting that hate mail. We hate that. Yes, wanted to come in about the NFL letter that you had gotten. Just an idea. I don't know if the White House administration, if President Trump could maybe pay for 1 year subscription for our veterans, people who have already completed their tours, who are not active duty but are true veterans, and give them a morale booster. I'm just throwing that idea out there. I don't know where the funds would come from, but just a thought there. And the other thing is, I just wanted to comment and just see what you thought about. It's just something that I noticed immediately watching the Fox News segment after the Minneapolis protesting and the lady who was killed, which was horrible. I immediately noticed the producers, I'm sure Sean Hannity has some control over his show, but I was shocked that they were showing back-to-back the Minneapolis protesters, of course, you know, that's sending one message, and then flipping over immediately on the screens on the television to the Iranian protesters who we support. Now, most people are going to think that through, but I think a large portion of the American populace, maybe at an eighth grade education level, I don't know, that's just what has been mentioned, that they're not going to get that. And that's too confusing. And I'm just thinking, Fox producers, what message are you trying to send? Are they trying to sabotage President Trump? You know, what are they trying to do here?
I don't think that's the case, Kim. I think there sometimes you have so much news happening at the same time, it's hard to sort of fit it all in and do a proper segue. I will tell you, are you talking about the California situation with the U-Haul truck?
No, I'm talking about the Minneapolis shooting, and then they went immediately changed the screens to Iranian protesters.
Yeah, I just think that was a case of, you know, they've got to get all these stories in. I don't think there was anything intentional there, but I will tell you, yesterday there was a lot of confusion over whether or not the attack with the U-Haul in Los Angeles, whether that was, you know, an anti-ICE person, but it turned out to be an anti-Iranian freedom person. So there's just so much news going on. So I wouldn't read too much into that. You know, I just think they just had to get all that news in there.
That sounds good. But you had asked earlier for your listeners, you know, do we support more ICE agents? I think this job is too large for just ICE agents going in, Todd. When President Trump was elected, I just thought, you know, with these efforts, with just Kristi Noem and Tom Holman, I think it's too big. We need more of a concerted effort and some other plan to keep our ICE agents from being attacked like this. It's just, I think it's too large of a job. I know they're doing a great job.
Yeah.
But I think there's got to be a different approach or something.
Kim, I'm going to ask our next guest about that. And thank you for calling in. Thank you for the kind words. Let's bring in the publisher of TriStarDaily.com, our good buddy Steve Gill. You see him all the time on my Newsmax show. Steve, first, good to have you with us. And, wow, this, you know, I think Kim may have a point here that this is too big of an operation just for Tom Holman.
Yeah, and Todd, it's good to be back with you, and always enjoy being both on your radio network as well as with you on Newsmax. Yeah, I think she's offered a great point because, again, what we've had in the past was, for example, ICE was to, you know, capture illegal aliens, keep them from coming in, and now because warfare has been declared against these law enforcement officers, you have to be on the offensive as well as the defensive, and I don't know that they have, you know, the experience to really handle that. They are not in the process of having the kind of communications to to push back against the legacy media that continues to brand them as the villains. So I think she's got a great point, and maybe it's just that he needs a top deputy, or whether or not you need almost an offensive and defensive capacity to ICE these days, in addition to what Kristi Noem is doing with DHS.
Here's where I'm a little concerned, and it really is about optics. I think the longer this drags on, I don't think we can be having these operations going all the way up until the election in November. I think by that point, we should have this under control. And if we don't, I think there's going to be an ugly narrative coming out of the media. So I'd like to see massive show of force, get it over with so we can move on to the other issues.
And I think you're exactly right. And the way we do that best, I think, is to ramp up the messaging within the illegal alien community. You're not going to get one dime of support. You're not going to get one dime of assistance. If we catch you, we are quickly putting you through the process and getting you out of here, and you will be blacklisted, fingerprinted, eyeballed, whatever we need. You will never, ever, 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 ever come back in this country unless you leave voluntarily and follow the process. We'll give you one get out of jail, get out of our country free pass, and if you ever want to come back, you got to leave now. And if we ramp up the voluntary deportation to the tune of several million more people, that will have a significant impact on making the group of those we're having to target who are criminal illegals, violent illegals, and those, they're not going to be able to hide in the jumble of the moderately illegal aliens who, you know, are working illegally, driving without insurance illegally, here illegally, you know, that aren't necessarily violent characters, but they're giving cover to the really bad guys. And the more of those we can get out of the country, the easier it is to find the bad ones and for ICE to do their jobs with a little bit less distraction. Now, on the optics, Todd, I think the optics are great. The more we have visuals of the only people protesting and screaming their lungs out are basically old, white, in many cases, lesbian women, I think that shows that you're not seeing Latino and Hispanic people out there protesting. You're not seeing brown people. All you're seeing is old, white, fat lesbians for the most part.
Yeah, and no black folks either. And I think, again, when you look at the Democrat Party's constituency, the black voters, which has been their base, they realize they're in the process of being replaced. So they're not in a good mood right now. That being said, Steve, I was talking to a couple of folks up in Washington. These are individuals that work on Capitol Hill. And the rumblings are that it's not a matter. I mean, they are not optimistic. I mean, contrary to what they're saying on TV, they are not optimistic that the Republicans are going to be able to pull this off in the midterms.
I'm more optimistic simply because I'm looking forward to not where we are, but where we're going to be. And when you look at the economics, and again, as James Carville always said during the Clinton years, it's the economy, stupid. And the Democrats are fighting every battle, every issue that is a 15 on an 85-15 split in the polls, and they always lurch right to the 15. I mean, they're protesting against removing a brutal dictator that the Latino and Hispanic community throughout Central and South America and the United States are cheering. They're taking the wrong side of that issue, and that's going to move Latino and Hispanic votes firmer into the Republican column. But when you look at the economy, we're going to see Jerome Powell replaced, hopefully indicted. But when the interest rates come down, and again, below that 6% mark, all of a sudden mortgage rates come down, homes get more affordable, cars get more affordable, everything becomes more affordable. Just as we're seeing the energy prices come down that make everything at the grocery store more affordable, all the manufacturing processes that use energy and use oil and natural gas, everything comes down in price. And I think the Trump administration just has to make sure that they are honing in on talking economy, 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 because that's where we win, unless the Democrats keep, you know, howling in favor of criminals and in favor of fraud.
Well, then you've got the Republicans. What, 17 Republicans joined the Democrats to protect Obamacare? Well, for the next 3 years, I think that's how long this will be in place. Then you've got Senate Republicans voting against codifying DOGE cuts for foreign aid spending. I mean, it's a who's who, including both senators from South Carolina, both from Mississippi. You've got a lot of Southern senators that are jumping on board here. This kind of stuff. Go ahead.
And it's the usual suspects, the ones that we've known were the squishy rhino Republicans for quite some time. And they're just having to, you know, show their true colors now with this narrow margin that Republicans have. They are not, in my view, though, the 17 voting to extend Obamacare. They're voting to give money to the insurance companies that put money back into their pockets personally and into their campaign coffers. This has nothing to do with health care. These folks betrayed Trump, betrayed the American people, betrayed this country, not because they want to expand health care. They want to expand the Obamacare subsidies during COVID so that the insurance companies continue to make huge profits that they share with these senators, Democrats, and Republicans personally and from campaign contributions.
Steve Gill is on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line today, and his website, TriStarDaily.com. That's TriStarDaily.com. Steve, going back to these protests, what do you think the administration ought to be doing that they're not doing right now?
I think, again, keep rounding up and doing the job and again, do whatever it takes to make sure you're protecting the law enforcement officials. You know, we have two main victims in this situation. One are the law enforcement officers who are doing their job legitimately, legally, and properly. And the other victim is the American people who are being absolutely lied to by the Democrats and the legacy media who've portrayed this tragic situation of this woman deciding to give up her life so she can go several hundred miles away from her children across the country to shout and scream in the interest of protecting fraud and illegal immigration. And again, the fact that the media and Democrats are standing up saying she was just picking up her kids from school. I mean, the ones that were burned by the cigarettes of her lesbian lover that were several hundred miles away. Just the complicity of the media and the lying Democrats and lying activists are victimizing the American people far worse than this one individual woman was victimized by her own bad decision.
Well, I'd like to see them go at, and one of the big disappointments has been the Justice Department, and there was, I don't know if you saw the graphic that was floating around on socials over the weekend, but they listed it going all the way back to Russia, Russia, Russia. Not a single person has been held accountable by this Justice Department. And so when I say I would like for the Justice Department to find out who's funding all of these protests, that's not going to happen. And holding them accountable, that's not going to happen. So a lot of disappointment, I think, in the Justice Department.
Absolutely. And I think somebody made a great point the other day. How come we can go all the way to Venezuela and snatch up a criminal for prosecution, but we can't go down the street from the White House and prosecute those who were involved in the Russia hoax, the January 6th hoax, and all the other, you know, criminal behavior that has been played out in public, the illegal voting that has taken place everywhere from Arizona to Georgia to Pennsylvania? Why can't we arrest anybody in this country, but we can go all the way to Venezuela and arrest Maduro?
Great question. It's a great question, Steve. All right, what's the big story over at TriStarDaily.com today?
You know, I think that the biggest thing is Tennessee is getting ready to head, as the rest of the country, into the election cycle. And what I urge people to watch in whatever state you are located in, you got to watch the money. The federal election fundraising reports are about to be released at the end of this month for what candidates for Congress, U.S. Senate have raised over the last 6 months or so. Money talks in politics. It actually screams. So there are a lot of people that, you know, I'm running for this, I'm running for that. You got to watch who has the resources to actually run good campaigns. And we've got primaries coming up in Tennessee in August, across the country in earlier races. We have to clean house in the Republican Party before we can focus our attention on beating Democrats. So now is the time to make those donations, get involved in the campaigns. We've got Ken Paxton in Texas, who's leading in most of the polls over John Cornyn. We have to clean out the rhinos so that we not only get a majority in the U.S. Senate and the U.S. House, but we have a majority of conservatives who will back the policies of Donald Trump. and that starts all now. Right. Election is underway now.
All right, Steve Gill, everybody. Steve, always appreciate you.
Thanks, my friend. We'll talk again soon.
All right, TriStarDaily.com. Go and check out all of the great writing over there. And don't forget, 5 o'clock Eastern tonight, Todd Stern Show on Newsmax 2. Millions of people are watching Newsmax and our streaming channel, Newsmax 2, also watching on cable, and they're downloading our free Newsmax app on smartphones and TVs. Reuters says we're one of the top news brands in the nation. Find out why Newsmax is the fastest-growing news channel in America. You can make the switch right now and join our news revolution. Get Newsmax on cable, on streaming. Download the free app today. Takes just seconds to start. And let President Trump know that you stand with Newsmax. Real news for real people. So, Dylan, this is an interesting story. Soldier Field, which is where the Chicago Bears have played, they're like one of the original teams, you know, in the NFL. So a lot of storied history there. So they've been having a big debate over where they're going to build their brand new stadium. And it turns out, and this is pretty huge, that apparently they're now looking at moving the team to Indiana. So the Chicago, this is crazy. The Chicago Bears could be in Indiana.
I wonder why they're doing that.
Well, a lot of it has to do with money, but you know, the Bears, they're dealing with the same problem a lot of other people are, and it's a safety issue, which was, you know, one of the reasons why the Bears wanted to leave where they're at right now. You know, it's interesting. The same thing happened in Kansas City with the Chiefs, and of course, they're leaving Missouri and moving into Kansas.
Yeah, I mean, you see that trending a lot of sports teams, too. You can even look at it in Memphis. I mean, the Grizzlies have been in talks of moving before, and it's just, it's a really sad reality people don't want to have to think about when you're going to a sports game, but it's true.
Well, a lot of it is also just the amount of money that taxpayers are having to fork over, and I understand that these teams generate a lot of money for tax local tax coffers. I get that. But the idea that these multi-billionaires are forcing the taxpayers to build their stadiums, and again, Soldier Field, how long has Soldier Field been around? I mean, we're talking generations. And you've got some stadiums that have been up 15, 20 years are already tearing them down. I mean, that's crazy. Opened in 1924. And look at the Nashville Stadium. Tennessee Titans already tearing it down and building a new one. All right, hang tight, everybody. Got to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Live from the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. American
Ride. Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. You crack me up, Starnes. I really enjoy listening to you. Just listening to you read some of those snowflake emails that you got or Facebook text posts, whatever. It's funny. It's just it's comical time when you read those. It's so funny. And, oh, FYI, talking about Ozempic, I lost like 90 pounds on the compounded tirzepatide, which is what? The generic for, oh, not Ozempic, but, oh, what is that one? Oh, Zepbound. But anyway.
Oh, dear. Well, welcome. Hello. Welcome to the Todd Stern Show. Thank you, Tammy, from North Carolina, leaving us a shout-out. Here's the challenge. I think those only last, what, about 30 seconds? So you've got to make it quick or it cuts you off. Welcome, everybody. And by the way, just like Tammy, you can send us a shout-out as well. All you have to do is download our free app. You can listen to the show wherever you are across America. And if you don't have time to call in, you can actually give us a shout-out, and we play those back on the air. Good to have you with us this hour of the program. Coming up in just a few moments, we're going to be talking to a state lawmaker in Missouri, and she wants to require elementary schools to use pen and paper for most student assignments. Now, I'm curious, your kids, your grandkids, are they using like a laptop or a computer for most of their classwork in grade school? Now, a brand new piece of legislation in Missouri mandates that 70% of kindergarten through fifth grade students would be required to use a pen or a pencil and paper. Also, they want elementary schools to return to printed textbooks. What do you think about that idea? Going old school. We're going to be talking to State Representative Tricia Burns in just a little while. She proposed the legislation, and she says the shift to digital instruction, which was a big shift that many schools have made, simply is not working. She says, I just want people to come around the table and say, hey, hold up, we all jumped the gun on this, and nobody had any science. Fair enough. But she says at the early ages, K through fifth grade, those kids need fundamental hands-on skills at those early ages. I want to know, I'm going to ask her about cursive writing. I think we've got to reintroduce that. I miss cursive writing. So I'm curious, ladies and gentlemen, how do you feel about that? Going old school and making the kindergarten through fifth graders do their assignments with real textbooks so you can hold in your hands, also writing on pen and paper. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Comrade Mamdani in New York City announcing a new crime advisor. Her name is Tamika Mallory, and here's what she has to say about looting.
I don't give a damn if they burn down Target, because Target should be on the streets with us calling for the justice that our people deserve. Don't talk to us about looting. Y'all are the looters. America has looted black people. America looted the Native Americans when they first came here. So looting is what you do. We learned it from you. We learned violence from you.
All right, yeah, that's going to work out well. Good luck to you there, New York City. Meanwhile, Comrade Mamdani is partnering with a YouTube star who I'm unfamiliar with. I had to look this lady up. Her name is Miss Rachel. Have you heard about her, Miss Rachel?
Oh, yeah.
She creeps me out.
She creeps me out, too.
She's like a grown adult who dresses like a child.
Yeah, the ponytails and the overalls.
It's weird. It's weird. So anyway, Mamdani appeared on Miss Rachel's YouTube show. It's a YouTube show for preschoolers. And they sang some communist-themed songs. Take a listen.
Hello, friends. The mayor on the bus says hello, friends, all through the town.
If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands.
If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. If you're happy and you know it, and you really want to show it, if you're happy and you know it, clap your hands.
Okay, that's interesting. You know, they're giving the everybody the free bus rides eventually. Right now, you still they actually not only do you have to pay, you have to pay more because of Mayor Mamdani. So here's what I find interesting about all of this. This is very communistic of the mayor, and I say that because they always love grooming the children. So they get them together and they'll sing the songs and the whatnot. And all of this was a big deal back when Barack Hussein Obama was president of the United States. As a matter of fact, and people always think this was made up. I wrote about this in, The Deplorables Got, I forget which one. But anyway, one of my early books, I wrote about this, and people thought that is not true. There's no way that school children were forced to sing worship songs about Obama, and it absolutely was true. So we went back into the archives, and this is this music you're about to hear, first of all, was in fact a worship song. It was written as a worship song, a music video, very well produced by Hollywood executives, that featured children singing about Barack Obama. Take a listen to Cut 15.
We're gonna spread happiness. We're gonna spread freedom. Obama's gonna change it. Obama's gonna lead 'em. We're gonna change it and reunite.
best.
Now's the moment where each voice you sing, sing with all your heart. For our children, for our families, nations all joined as one. Sing for joy and sing abundant peace, courage, justice, hope.
Keep it going here, Dylan, but While they're singing, all the children have little Obama shirts on, and they're all uniform, and moms and dads are smiling, and they're just sort of like, I don't know, swaying back and forth, like they're in some sort of an Obama trance. Okay, enough of this. So then, that was in Hollywood. Then in Burlington, New Jersey, the children were required to sing a chant about Obama. Take a listen to cut 16. Yeah, and then here's another clip of that. Cut 17, please.
He said, "We want to take a chance and make sure everyone gets a chance."
Oh, geez, hello. Remember those days? Everybody thought, no, Starnes is making this up. No, this is creepy stuff here. They were literally making the children chant and worship Barack Hussein Obama. And I want to read this because it was a little hard to hear, but this is what they said. Barack Hussein Obama, he said that all must lend a hand to make this country strong again. Barack Hussein Obama. He said we must be fair today. Equal work means equal pay. Barack Hussein Obama. He said that we must take a stand to make sure everyone gets a chance. Barack Hussein Obama. He said red, yellow, black, or white, all are equal in his sight. Barack Hussein Obama. Then there was yet another song. I mean, it's another song. This is crazy. There was also, at the time, a school that actually created a, I don't know, paramilitary group called Obama Ute, and they all had to dress up in uniforms. It was a big scandal back in the day, and people really freaked out about it. But I hope you understand that when you see Zohran Mamdani hanging out with the likes of Miss Rachel, it's not for good. It's not for good. That's about indoctrinating your children. And if I were you, moms and dads, and if your kid watches that little, you know, creepy gal, Miss Rachel, on the air, if your kid watches that, you may want to check it out just to make sure that Miss Rachel isn't converting your kid to communism. Jeez, hello. All right, there you go, ladies and gentlemen, 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. You know, at some point you do wonder what would have happened if Obama would have just stuck around. I mean, would we have like these statues? Would we be required to, I don't know, would the children of America be required to bow down and worship at the feet of Obama? Would all of us be required to chant these creepy? This is so creepy, ladies and gentlemen. Creepy. We'll be right back. All right. this story out of Los Angeles County. The L.A. County Sheriff's Department says a deputy was in the middle of his 16-hour shift, a little tired, so he dropped by a Starbucks in Norwalk, California, wanted to get a cup of coffee. But when the deputy got his order, he noticed that one of the Starbucks baristas had actually drawn a pig on the outside of the coffee cup. Now, if I'm a cop and I see that, there's no way I'm drinking what's in that cup. Because you don't know. I mean, if they had the nerve to draw a pig on the outside, I'm wondering, what did they put inside the beverage? Did they spit? Did they put like Clorox or something in there? I don't know. So Sheriff Robert Luna is really upset about this, and he says that Starbucks should be ashamed, called the artwork extremely offensive, inappropriate, and unacceptable. Starbucks has apologized, and they're taking swift action. The deputy says the entire ordeal was discouraging and disrespectful. I mean, can you imagine this? The poor guy putting his life on the line every freaking day, only to be mocked by a glorified waitress at an overpriced coffee joint. I mean, come on, man. What the heck? It's really, really sad. Very, very disappointing. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. You know, every day, Americans, we all make choices, and our choices actually shape the country's future. And believe it or not, that means right down to which cell phone provider that we support. Now, here's what a lot of people don't realize. Patriot Mobile is not just a wireless provider. They're an activist organization. They're funded by selling top-tier cell phone service. Been longtime partners of our program. And the best part is they deliver premium service on all three major U.S. networks. You get the same coverage or even better, and that customer support team is 100% based right here in the U.S. of A. You're going to be talking to somebody who speaks English. You're going to be able to get unlimited data plans, mobile hotspots, international roaming, much more. And when you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're going to help grow a movement that fuels the Christian conservative cause. Every single bill you pay helps advance faith, family, and freedom. So I want you to go check them out, patriotmobile.com/Todd. That's patriotmobile.com/Todd. Call 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT. Now get this. Use my promo code. You will get an entire month of service absolutely free of charge. So you've got absolutely nothing to lose, right? So patriotmobile.com/Todd, use my promo code Todd. You're going to get a free month of service. All right, let's go to Susan in Cordova, Tennessee. Susan, what's going on?
Hello, Todd. I was raised in Chicago from when I was 2 years old until I went into the Navy, and my parents continued to live there, so I continued to go back. I think football game and whatever else they do at Soldiers Field to Indiana is a big, big mistake. Chicago is a beautiful city. It's a world-class city. And people that go there and go there perhaps for a football game can take advantage of the beauty of the museums, the city, the planetarium, a lot that Chicago has to offer, especially there at the lakefront. So unless I don't know. I don't think my family would go all the way to Indiana to watch a game. And they've got season tickets to the Bears games.
Wow. So they've been around for 104 years. And it's the oldest stadium in the NFL. And they're talking about there were a lot of disagreements between the state and the city and the football team as far as who was going to be footing the bill. And that seems to be the big sticking point here. Bears submitted a $2 billion proposal, another $3 billion they wanted for, like, the old racecourse, entertainment district, all of that kind of stuff, and lots of other asks as well. So I think that's where the sticking point is right now.
Well, I personally just don't think they would get the draw in people coming in. Personally, I just don't think they would get the draw. I still have a lot of family that lives in Chicago, and My brother, who's deceased, but he had season tickets, which we still have possession of. And it's for very nice seats for four. They're at Soldiers Field to watch the Bears.
Well, Susan, I'll take you a step further. You remember, I don't know if you were here, when the Houston Oilers relocated to Tennessee, and they settled initially in Memphis while they were trying to build the Tennessee Titans stadium in Nashville. And everybody here in Memphis thought that we were going to get that team. And, of course, they went to Nashville. And I'm telling you, there are people here in Memphis to this day that literally hate the Tennessee Titans.
There you go. There you go. People are loyal. But loyalty only goes so far. Don't mess with location of the team.
The Indiana Bears. I'm not sure that William Refrigerator Perry and all those guys would approve of that. Susan, I've got to run, but thank you for the insight there. I mean, it's a fair point. I mean, if they've been there, 104 years? Jeez aloo. They've been in Chicago since 1921. There you, how about that? One of only three teams still in the city where they were originally started. Anybody know the other two? I've got a book handy if you do. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Oh, that's a great trivia question. We'll be right back. Crazy story out of Tennessee. Have you heard about this? A woman giving birth to a baby nearly 13 pounds. Take a listen.
Here he is.
Life is full of surprises.
That's just wild.
Marky Smith's baby delivery was expected.
My favorite one is his little wrist roll right here.
But the way the birth room erupted was not.
Everybody, the whole room just was like, oh my God, like what? And they pulled the curtain down and he was just massive.
Her giant baby boy, born in Arlington, weighing in at nearly 13 pounds.
Just rolls for days. I was in shock. I couldn't believe it. Like, he looks like the Michelin man.
His pre-picked name, Canyon, turned out to be the perfect fit.
He's my chunky boy.
He now goes by Grand Canyon.
I had gestational diabetes. You're to be expected to have a larger baby. But my last two were 8.5, both. So I was expecting maybe a 10-pound baby, but definitely not a 12-pound baby.
12 pounds and 10.5 ounces, to be exact.
And there's his fat rolls. He's a good boy.
And perfectly healthy.
He's 3 weeks old, wearing 3-month-old clothes.
A big bundle of joy, arriving via C-section just days before Christmas, during a time the Azel mom needed him most.
God blessed me with this baby, and I was going through some hardships last year.
There was the loss of her mom and a bad breakup, but the love around Canyon's arrival marks a new day.
Literally, he saved my life.
A Texas-sized baby, she says.
Like, who has a 13-pound baby? Like, what?
Was a Christmas miracle.
I just don't understand. I didn't think babies got this big.
Well, you know, that wasn't being delivered the natural way. Wow, she was, like, ripping on her kid. Grand Canyon.
Immediately.
She loves the fat rolls. Well, the baby will grow out of it, right? That's going to be a big boy. Now, Shelby Martin from Tennessee, she gave birth to a baby that was 12 pounds, 14 ounces, and she already had three other kids. She said the baby was so big that whenever the baby, like, kicked, it would pop her hip joint out of the socket. And she said, I honestly didn't think I was going to survive the pregnancy. She did an interview with the Today Show. That's terrible. Anyway, good luck to you there. You know, that kid's, the little baby, I mean, you typically feed them what? You got the bottle, and then you got the little, what, Gerber, the baby food? Yeah, that kid's going to be like, take me to Topps Barbecue.
Give me a steak. Teeth are in. See my little giant bottle of joy.
My chunky boy. My chunky boy. Jeez, Alou. All right, 901-260-5926, our telephone number. By the way, things are heating up again over in Minneapolis. ICE agents just a little while ago had to deploy tear gas to repel these mobs. Folks, I'm just telling you here, sooner or later, Trump is going to have to step in and they're going to have to do something. And the thought process here, and you're going to hear this a lot. Well, if we can go into Venezuela, why can't we go in to Minneapolis? And it's a great question. Also, this story out of Fox News, Peter DeBrasco is the author. A volunteer radio show host has resigned after authorities confirmed they were aware of a post he wrote on the social media app Blue Sky that advocated killing Vice President J.D. Vance. WMUL says it was one of their volunteers, and he said, quote, it's simple, we kill J.D. Vance. The person identified themselves as a host of a radio show on WUML, funded by the University of Massachusetts at Lowell. The comment made in response to another Blue Sky user. We understand Secret Service has been informed of the incident. UMass as well says that the individual in question has since resigned from his volunteer role at the radio station and has removed his post from the Blue Sky account. You just have to take everything seriously nowadays. I mean, that's really the problem. You've got to take it all seriously. Let's go to Clear Lake City, Texas. Mike is on the line. Hi, Mike. What's on your mind today?
Hello. Thanks for taking my call. Now, I just want to ask you a question. Maybe you know the answer to it. Local police departments are union. ICE agents are union. Why aren't union leaders in law enforcement demanding that local police departments protect their union brothers and sisters?
Well, that's a good question, Mike. And we'll have to, you know what, we'll look into that for you. I don't know whether or not Minneapolis is union or not, but still you would think there would be some solidarity with the police forces, no matter if they're local or federal or state.
Well, yeah, they're all law enforcement. And in a brotherhood, I mean, why aren't they looking out for each other?
Mike, what would you, I mean, right now, it looks like a war zone. We're literally watching these images in real time, and they're having to deploy tear gas because these activists now feel emboldened, and they're using these vehicles as weapons, trying to stop ICE agents. What do you think the administration ought to do?
Well, that's the thing. It doesn't matter what our side does, the other side is going to go one step further. So, it doesn't matter if you bring in water cannons or whatever else, they will come up with something else to counter that. Nothing's off the table with these people. There's no line they will not cross.
Want to read this. Federal agents being swarmed by paid, organized left-wing stalkers at this hour in Minneapolis. I think DOJ needs to step in, find out who's paying these people. Those are the ones that ought to be arrested and thrown in jail.
Agreed. But, I mean, what are you going to do on the ground in real life, in real time, to protect ICE agents other than National Guard or military?
Fair question, Mike. And, again, I don't think we're going to see – I really don't think we're going to see the ICE agents taking up arms against, because that's what they're wanting. These leftists are wanting a body count, and that's why they're putting these women and these children, these babies out on the front lines. They want to see bloodied Americans that are being beaten by these ICE agents. That's what they're after. And look, Trump is smart. He knows all about optics. And once you start seeing those kinds of images every night on the news, you lose control of the narrative. So Trump's going to have to be really smart here, very shrewd, and we'll see what happens. Mike, thank you for that call. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. We'll be right back. Well, I've been watching Landman on Paramount, which is, well, honestly, season one was a lot better than season two. It's just getting a little weird. But every now and again, they've got a couple. They've had a couple of great, great segments. One of them involving one of the characters just blasting The View. But the show is generating a cult following on Paramount, and people just they love the characters, and they love the fact that it's authentic, that it's not. That it's not woke. You've got Billy Bob Thornton, and honestly, he carries the show. You've got Sam Elliott, who plays Billy Bob Thornton's dad. And I'm not really, I don't like what they've done to the character. The guy, you're just waiting for him to die, you know, and nobody wants that. So, but it needs to put a little pep in his step. And then Allie Larler and Michelle Randolph playing the wife and the daughter. If you, it's for adults, so it's not a kid's show. So anyway, the daughter is going off to college, and she gets paired with a roommate who is a they-them. And I want you to hear, this is such a brilliant takedown of this whole preferred pronoun crowd. Take a listen.
Are you on the cheerleading team?
Do I look like a cheerleader?
I mean, you make a very strong base for a pyramid.
I'm in the sports medicine program.
Oh, cool. Is that a pet rat?
Basically a big ferret. You can say hi.
Hi.
Just getting used to your smell.
Would you be opposed to a room freshener?
A toxic airborne petrochemical that I breathe into my lungs? So, what are your pronouns?
My pronouns? Well, I hope that's pretty clear.
I use they, them.
Why they, them? Because there's just one of you, and those are plural pronouns. Just never really understood the hoopla of pronouns. My name's Ainsley, and I just can't really come up with a reason why you would address me in third person in a conversation that I'm a part of. So if you do, I'm probably not there. So I wouldn't really know what pronouns you're using anyways. So why would it matter?
You smell like the beach.
Everyone says that. You know, I think it's because I use coconut oil as a moisturizer. Of all the oils, it penetrates the deepest. This one smells like coconut,
I
too.
I would appreciate if you didn't use that word.
Coconut?
Penetrate. It's triggering. It insinuates the patriarchal power of the phallus. Do you eat meat?
Are we still talking about penises?
I'm vegan. I would prefer you don't eat meat in this room. I would really appreciate it if you didn't bring any animal products in this room, like those shoes or probably cowhide.
Oh, no, babe, these are Jimmy Choo.
I meditate at noon.
Okay.
And I don't like music.
Well, I'm not a musician.
I mean, I don't like it played in the room. This is my safe space, and I need my environment crafted to support my mental health.
I'm gonna... let you, they let you, they meditate, and I will see they later. I'll be back.
Yeah, that's what our kids have to go through at the universities these days. Just so you're aware, that's what your kids are having to go through. That's what they're exposed to at our taxpayer-funded university. So anyway, it's a pretty funny show. This season's a little weird, went a little squirrely on us, but we'll see. Taylor Sheridan, who did the Yellowstone series, the show with Sylvester Stallone in Tulsa, and also the mayor of Kingstown. Great, great shows, but definitely not for the kids. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. So I want to go back to CNN, and they've been all over the Renee Good story, and it doesn't matter what that video shows. They've already decided this is what the narrative is going to be. Cut number four, please.
It's a tragedy that Renee Good is dead, and we should all mourn it. We should all mourn it. We also should look back what went wrong way before that. Peggy Flanagan, the lieutenant governor of Minnesota, encouraged people to put their bodies on the line. That is irresponsible. Democrats who are encouraging people to obstruct law enforcement, they're putting them in harm's way with their rhetoric, and it's wrong. Republicans shouldn't do it. Democrats shouldn't do it. We also have a problem that the Minneapolis police are not allowed to do crowd control. That the encounter between Renee Good and those ICE officers shouldn't have happened. Minneapolis police should have been there as a buffer, but we don't have it because Minneapolis ordinances prohibit them from even being there when there's ICE in coordination. We have to change this. We have to have, Christine Ohm said it this morning, state and local officials need to help ICE do their job, not encourage people to stop them.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely right. And then over at CNBC, you've got Joe Kernan. He had Senator Mark Warner on the show. I love the question here because, and just got to step back here, all right? Step back for just a moment. It was Barack Obama who deported millions more illegals than Donald Trump even has. Cut 13.
Now I know Trump has deported or sent back 350,000, 400,000 people. Barack Obama, your guy, as you called Trump, my guy, it was 5 million. It was 5 million over 8 years. Now we're at 350,000. What changed with Democrats on? I know Biden let in 12 million. Is it about votes? Why didn't these people, why isn't is it a crime to be here? Not that they haven't committed a crime.
The border being as open as it was under Biden was one of the reasons Trump got elected. But the idea...
So you're glad it's closed now?
Do I think we ought to not have a fully open border? Absolutely. I've
so
said that all along.
So with the 12 million that
but
came
question,
in, what do we
the
do?
The question I have for you is closing the border versus sending out ICE agents across the country to randomly pick up people based on quotas that have committed no crime.
How did Obama deport 5 million?
Done at the border.
I think it was a lot of that was done at the border.
They were sent back.
And the truth is I don't think the American people signed up for this. Where you see people who are working, there ought to be a path towards legality. We've worked on that. We've screwed that up, immigration reform, for years, both sides. But the idea that we're going to send in these ICE agents, by the way, Joe, you realize ICE used to take 5 to 6 months to get trained. They've now lowered the training period to 47 days. Why 47 days? Because Donald Trump's the 47th president. Tell me that's a rational approach.
I'm not going to take that bait and say it's a rational approach, but
Joe, you can't pick your facts.
No, you can't pick your facts. By the way, I am watching video right now. We'll post this up on the website. So there's an older guy, probably in his 50s, 60s, and he's waving a giant American flag. These monsters on the other side come up to him. And they put one of those air horns directly in his face. And he tries to get away, and they keep chasing the guy with this air horn right in his face. So finally, the old dude turns around and delivers a message to the base of that man's nose, the bridge of the guy's nose. And other people swarm the old guy, and the old guy is punching all these other people. It's like, I don't know, he's a mixed martial artist or something. So then the guy gets up. He's already been punched in the nose, and he swings and misses. And that's when the guy with the American flag hauled off and knocked the ever-living daylights out of the guy, knocked the guy out cold on the ground. I think what we're watching here is a breaking point. And I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, if President Trump, he's got to keep an eye on this, and I don't trust the Justice Department here at all. But this is getting out of hand. This is getting out of control. And you're going to start seeing a body count here if we're not careful, which is one of the reasons why I believe the president needs to declare an insurrection, send in the military, get everything under control. That's what it's going to take here. So we'll see how all this plays out, but it is getting a little ugly there tonight as well, tonight, this evening, in Minnesota. My goodness. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Coming up tonight, we are going to have live reports on Newsmax from Minnesota. One of our reporters was invited to go on a ride-along with ICE agents, so we'll have that exclusive content. Also, we're going to be talking to some state lawmakers in Minnesota about next steps here, and we're going to ask them. We love putting we'll throw it out there to the Minnesota lawmakers. Do you guys want Trump to step in here and save your city? Because right now, we're on the verge of watching Minneapolis burn again. And I got to tell you, as a taxpayer, I'm not paying to rebuild that. We've already done that once. All right, we've got to scoot out of here. It has been a great day. Thank you for joining us. Tomorrow, noon to 3 Eastern, we'll be right back here on the radio. Tonight, 5 o'clock, we'll see you on Newsmax. Be safe, everybody.